This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. The California Supreme Court is trying to decide whether to overturn the conviction of a 15-year-old boy who was expelled from school. He served 100 days in juvenile hall. His crime? Writing a poem that included alleged threats of violence. In the post-Columbine era, the California court is trying to establish whether such writing is protected free speech or an illegal death threat. Joining us now is Slate and Day-to-Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick. Hi, Dahlia.
Hi, Madeline.
So, Dahlia, this boy, he's known only as George T. because he is a minor. Tell us about his poem and how that translated into a crime.
Well, as you well know, Madeline, virtually all unpopular, hateful, awful speech is protected by the First Amendment. But there's this very narrow subset called true threats. And the question for the court today is whether what George T. wrote in his poem, a poem including lines like, quote, "For I can be the next kid to bring guns to kill students at school," end quote, amounts to literature or amounts to what we know is a true threat. And the California Penal Code, Section 422, criminalizes true threats. The threshold is very high. To be a threat, you have to show that the threat was unequivocal, unconditional, immediate, and specific. What that means for the court's purposes, if they need to figure out if the listener to this threat believes, genuinely believes, that the maker of the threat intends to carry out the thing that is threatened. And that's the sort of very, very narrow legal question for the court.
Now, does it matter that this came in the form of a poem, an alleged poem, shall we say?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, certainly some of the justices seem to be grappling with that. I think it goes to some of those tests of, you know, is it unconditional? Is it specific? Is it immediate? And there's a way in which, because it's presented as literature and not as, you know, I'm going to come to your house and do this and this and this and I'm looking you straight in the face, that maybe it does immunize it. The very famously or notoriously tart-tongued Justice Janice Rogers Brown came back and said, look, if being a poem immunizes true threats, all you'd need to do is hand over a note to the bank teller that says, roses are red, violets are blue, give me the money or I'll shoot you, and it wouldn't be a threat. So obviously it's not that simple. I think one of the things the court really understood is this is a very context-based analysis. You need to sort of figure out, he handed this poem to two girls. It wasn't done for class. Why did he do this? It was done 11 days after another school shooting. Why did he do this? Those are the kinds of questions, rather than the sort of literariness that I think the court was struggling with.
Well, you know, isn't it in the wrong place to begin with, way up at the California Supreme Court? And shouldn't the school itself, the people who actually know this kid, be dealing with this issue?
Well, I think that's one of the things that several of the justices of the California Supreme Court felt, that they don't lightly overturn a local judge who sort of knows the facts of this case and saw the kid and understands the nature of whether this was in fact a true threat. But I think it should be clear that the lawyers on both sides agree that this in no way diminishes schools' ability to do what they need to do to discipline kids who are threatening other kids. The question really is, does this rise to a criminal offense? Should this kid be in juvenile hall?
And there was a high-profile case in Canada that involved a similar situation a few years ago, and it involved famous Canadian writers like Margaret Atwood, who got involved with it. Tell us about that case and what happened.
It was a very, very similar case. A 16-year-old boy who I think had been bullied a little bit wrote a little monologue for his drama class in which he talked about killing people with bombs, and he similarly spent 34 days in juvenile hall. There was massive national attention, media attention, all sorts of luminaries got involved, and in fact, Margaret Atwood and Michael Ondaatje held a little event in support of him. Michael Ondaatje, the famous writer of The English Patient, went on to say that without the outlet of art and creative writing, I don't know how I would have turned out, which almost rises to a threat in and of itself.
We won't categorize that threat, though. Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick, who writes the jurisprudence column for Slate. Thanks a lot, Dahlia.
Thanks, Madeline.